Matthew 18, look at verse 20 in your Bible. Matthew 18, verse 20, already once quoted in our service this morning. It says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." Keep your Bible open to that passage, and keep this card open and available as well. Let me ask this morning, how is your progress in the Christian life going right now? Sophia and I didn't know that I was going to begin this way, but I could ask the same question that Sophia was asked. Are you Christian enough? I mean, do you see progress in your Christian life? Really? Progress? Excitement, vitality, or do you seem to be stalled? Often the pattern is, you know, we receive Christ and we're so thrilled and excited to think our sins have been forgiven. Jesus died for me. He was raised again. He's alive. He's my God. And everything is new. We are baptized. We get into the church family. We have new relationships. We start this thing they call adult education or Sunday school or whatever, wherever we are when we first came to Christ. Sunday school. We get into a home group and everything is new and the Bible is alive and we're growing and very excited. And then years pass. And we find that we haven't changed the world. We have friends and family who have rebuffed us and our Savior. And we've been rebuffed and rejected often in our attempts to witness, and maybe we've stopped trying to witness. And perhaps prayer becomes less vital, less filled with faith and energy. Early excitement cools and growth slows, and sometimes we're haunted by disillusionment and doubt. We look back at our lives, you know, through the years, and we can see times of real growth and progress, and other times where, you know, it's just stagnated. I asked this morning if you were just completely honest with yourself. Sometimes that's difficult to do. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you reached a plateau in your walk with Christ, in your Christian life? Are you stuck in a dull routine? No more excitement, no more new challenges. Just sort of stuck. How do we get out of that sense of not going forward with the Lord, not as excited as we want to be, and sort of yawning in our Christian experience? Well, sometimes our problem is that we are trying to live the Christian life alone. We don't think we are. I mean, we're part of the church, we're active in church, but sometimes I fear we're really are trying to live the Christian life alone. I want to show you a video clip this morning. In the clip, the fellowship has been broken. Frodo has to go on. And he is determined to go on alone.
I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened.
So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
I made a promise, Mr. Frodo. A promise. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee. And I don't mean to. I don't mean to.
Oh, Sam.
Frodo's fate is no longer in our hands.
And it has all been in vain. The Fellowship has failed.
What if we hold true to each other? We will not abandon Merry and Pippin to torment and death. Not while we have strength left.
Leave all that can be spared behind.
We travel light. Let us hunt some orc.
Find a safer route.
Strider will look after
them. I don't suppose we'll ever see them again.
We may yet, Mr. Frodo. We may.
Sam. I'm glad you're with me.
Sam, I'm glad you're with me as I walk into the depths of hell toward Mordor. We need backup in the journey that is the Christian life. We emphasize two kinds of gatherings. One of them is the large gathering when we all come together to lift up God and to worship Him. And we emphasize also the home group, the small group, where we gather in groups of 10 or 12 for Bible study, for prayer, for fellowship. But what about a group or a partnership of two or three coming together? Two or three are mentioned in Matthew 18:20. Alone is no good. We need backup. What happens when you fall down? We read in the Old Testament, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. The cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Notice the phrase, his friend can help him up. If you know, if you've read the books or watched the movies or both, you know how Sam saved Frodo's life more than once. And there was a time when he could go no further and Frodo carried him. It is a powerful analogy of the Christian life. Notice the emphasis on two or three in the text. Two or three. It's just an interesting thing. And notice in Matthew 18:20, we read the words, where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor. You've used the word context about 700 million times since you've been here. And I want you to notice that the context from verse 19 talks about two or three agreeing together in prayer. And the larger context talks about two or three seeking to restore an erring brother. Don't these words in verse 20 apply in those contexts? And I say, well, I'm glad you mentioned context. Because you're absolutely right. It's very important to keep the context in our minds whenever we look at any sentence in the Bible. It's true in those contexts. But I would also say it's true in other contexts as well. Verse 20 is true in other contexts as well. Keep in mind that Matthew's gospel is the one that begins with his name shall be called Emmanuel. That's how the gospel begins, which means God is with us. And the gospel concludes, the last sentence of this gospel is, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So that I believe that Matthew 18:20 is applicable in any situation where two or three come together in the name of Christ. May I suggest a possible tool for jump-starting spiritual growth, for entering into the challenge and excitement of Christian progress again through a CTG group? A CTG group is a commitment to grow group. And that's what this little card is about. If you are part of a CTG group, two or three persons would make up that group, two or three. And it would be two or three persons of the same sex united together around three disciplines. You can see the disciplines listed. If you look at this card on the side that's titled Accountability at the top, Accountability, it begins by saying avoiding legalism. We're not about legalism around here. Avoiding legalism and man-made rules, yet aspiring to grow together. We commit to the following disciplines and questions. The disciplines are three: Bible reading, honest accountability and confession, and prayer for others who need Jesus. Keep that right handy. I'm going to talk about this just for a moment. The first question, the first discipline we agree to in this small group of two or three is Bible reading. And we decide together to read larger sections of Scripture. We're going to read 20 pages or 25 pages of the Bible together. We might choose books of the Bible to read together. We'll read the Gospel of Luke this week. And you all agree to read, and as you come together for weekly meetings, you ask yourselves, well, did you do the reading? And if one member of the group, if you're a group of three, and one member of the group has not completed the reading, then all members of the group repeat it. And you keep repeating it until all the members of the group have read through that passage of Scripture, whatever the assignment was, whatever the agreed upon passage was for the week. You might take 2 weeks to read the book of Genesis or 2 weeks to read the book of Isaiah, or you might choose large sections to read. And as you read, you come together and you ask whether all have read, and if not everyone has read, you just read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again until the whole group has read the text together that week. This results in repeated reading of Scripture, which is a good thing. It results in a lot of Scripture getting read and reread and reread, and God uses Scripture to correct error, to feed faith, to spur growth. Look at what Paul wrote. He wrote, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whether we're reading in Genesis or in Revelation or in any book between, the Bible always leads us to a person. It leads us to Christ Jesus. The Scriptures make us wise for salvation in Christ. The Bible leads us to Him, to the one who was crucified and raised again for our salvation. And notice that Scripture thoroughly equips us. You know, we want to be equipped to serve God, and this is what God has given us. He's given us His Word. And so it's very, very important and very good for us to commit together in a partnership of two or three to read God's Word together. But there's also the second discipline is accountability and confession of sin. James wrote these words. He said, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." You know, one of the things we need someone to confess our sins to. You say, "Now, wait a minute, Gary. We confess our sins to God, and God forgives us. We don't, you know, we're all priests, and we come to God, and He forgives us." And you're absolutely right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You're absolutely right. But nevertheless, I believe that we need and we experience something very powerful and very important when we confess our sins to someone else, to one another. I mean, the principle of accountability. This card at the top titled Accountability. Then there are various questions that are listed. There are 10 questions here, and it's by no means a complete list, but it's a suggestive list. The first one, I believe, comes from John Wesley. Do I, consciously or unconsciously, create the impression that I am better than I am? Am I a hypocrite? You know, you come together with your CTG group of 2 or 3, and you ask each other these questions. And you report about your progress or your failures. And you are able to simply admit your need. Take off the mask. There is here complete honesty. There is accountability. And there is, of course, confidentiality. We trust one another with opening our lives to each other. The questions here are not complete. They're suggestive. They may be helpful. And, you know, you and your partner in the course of, or partners, if you were a group of 3, you know, you might focus in on certain areas of weakness in your own life, and that you could just say, I want you to ask me every week about this, you know. That could be developed as you work through this process together. Accountability and confession of sin is the second discipline. And the third one is prayer for others to come to Christ. Paul said, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Each member of a CTG group, a commitment to grow group, shares the names of 2 to perhaps 5 persons who are very high priority on the I want to see them come to Christ list. And you just unite to pray together for these people. This makes the group not just focused on, you know, you and your partner. It makes it outward focused. It's not about us. It's about Christ. It's about his kingdom. It's about sharing our faith. It's about pleading with God for those who need to come to our Savior. On the back side of this little card, or the other side, you have some guidance, some biblical guidance to praying for those persons. Just some biblical direction to guide the process of praying for others. After all, this passage, which says, where 2 or 3 come together in my name, there am I with them. The preceding verse talks about if you agree together in prayer. If you agree together, anything you ask for, it will be given to you by my Father in heaven. So the immediate context of the saying in verse 20 is prayer. Well, we are committed to meeting together for worship. We are committed to our home groups. And those are very important. But might there be a real jump start for Christian living by creating a commitment to grow group, reading scripture, confessing sin, praying for others, and experiencing the reality of that statement where 2 or 3 come together in my name, there am I with them. Now, I mean, we experience that here. We experience that in our home groups. But I think this kind of experience could be a real challenge and help to us. We need to partner with one another to grow and follow Christ. We need this. You know, you may have heard about the buddy system in the military. The buddy system is, you are my buddy, and I will not leave the field without you. If you go down, I will bring you off the field, no matter what. If I'm breathing, I'll bring you off the field. You certainly see that kind of commitment in Frodo and Sam. Frodo would never have accomplished his mission. without his partner, without Sam. A CTG group may not be for everyone. This is no legalism. This is no law by any means. But pray. I challenge you to pray about whether it might be for you. If spiritual growth has stagnated, if you yearn for a new jump start in your Christian walk, your walk with the Lord, maybe God wants you to enter into this kind of commitment for spiritual progress. You know what the chief qualification for being in a group like this is? Chief qualification is a desperate need for Jesus. I need Jesus in his power. I need him. That's the chief qualification. Sometimes new Christians are the first to join. And let me express this warning. Sometimes those who have been Christians for a long time are not. Christian leaders may be the most hesitant of all to commit to a group like this. Well, my challenge is that you pray about forming with one or two others a CTG group, commitment to grow. You know, our text is, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. And growing together deepens relationships. Pray about it and see how the Lord may lead you to respond. Let's bow together in prayer.